closer. The noise level is more today.
Okay, today is Daf Kresus, Daf Yud, Omid, Daf Yud. Okay, I want to talk on the topic of Pachus Mishove Pruta. The laws of bringing a carbon, if the carbon is valued at less than the value of a pruta, and halacha lemaisa is a person the kind the mitzvah of tzedaka if you give less than a pruta. Mizmanaza, what is the value of a pruta? It's not clear. There are different opinions. Some learn that the smallest coin of the country is a pruta, so that would mean that a penny is a pruta. Others learn that it depends on the value of silver, which always fluctuates, which comes out today to approximately a nickel. There are different opinions what the pruta is. But let's say a person wants to make the mitzvah of tzedakah. There's a mitzvah deraisa of giving tzedakah. How much does one have to give to an ani to make the mitzvah? Does one need to give at least a pruta? Okay, let's see. Let's see the way.
Have you ever had that experience, Rabbi? You give a guy a quarter today, he gives it back to you.
I have experience where you give someone a dollar and they give it back to you. Okay. People have different answers. Listen, people don't have it. It's not. It's sad. Okay. What? Okay, let's. Okay, we have over here. The Gemara. It's a complicated Gemara. I don't have a clear kind of Gemara. But the Gemara basically tells us there are karbanos that we are a person that has. There are three options. There's wealthy. There's poor and very poor. Ashirus, dalus, and dali dalus. The wealthy, the person, for example, Olivier, the person that is, enters the base Hamigdash in the state of Tumah. If he's wealthy, he brings a carbon, he brings an animal carbon. If he's not wealthy, he brings less wealthy, he brings birds. And if he's very poor, he brings a mincha. There are certain carbonists where a person only has two options. Yoledes, a woman who gives birth, if she's wealthy, she brings an animal. They're part of a series. There are a whole series of carbonists. But some of the carbonists can be an animal, and the other, if a woman is not wealthy, she can bring a bird. Gemara makes a calculation that the difference between an animal and a bird is 1 over 32. Okay, the Gemara is a complex calculation that how much does a keves, an ayil cost a keves, a kesef cost. And so the Gemara, and then the Gemara is, but if a person cannot bring the animal, he brings the bird. And the bird cost 132 less. 1 over 32 less than the value of an animal. And the Gemara is what?
You mean in a ratio of
one ratio of value
or a differential value?
Ratio. Okay. Ratio. A ratio of 132. The ratio of 132. And the Gemara says, for example, the Gemara makes a calculation. Yeah, it's complex Gemara. You have to go through the details in the Gemara. It's enough yud on the base. And the Gemara base comes out and says that a bird costs 22 prutos. To bring a bird, it costs 22 prutos, and that is 132 of the cost of an animal. Then the Gemara says a svara. The svara is if the Torah allowed you to go down 1 over 32 from an animal to a bird, it's logical that among the korbanos where you don't have to bring even a bird, where you can bring a mincha, you can go down another 1 over 32. Since the ratio between an animal and a bird is 1 over 32, that was the calculation, that was the mitzias that existed in the time of the Gemara, time of the Talmud, when they made this calculation, they looked at the value of an animal, and they looked at the value of a bird, and the difference is 1 over 32, so it's reasonable to assume that when you have a situation where a person can go down another notch from a bird to a mincha, you can go down another 1 in 32. How much does a bird cost? The bird costs 24? I'm getting confused. It's 24 prutos. So you have to make calculations. 24, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry. 22. It's 24 prutos. So now when you go down from... when you divide 24 by 32, well, you get 3/4. That means the cost of a mincha is 3/4 of a pruta. A person that entered the base Hamigdash by accident, instead of Tumah, or eats kadosh and instead of to be asked to bring a carbon oil of the yard, if he cannot afford to bring an animal, he brings a bird. If he cannot afford to bring a bird, he brings a mincha. The value of the mincha, the Gemara concludes, only needs to cost 3/4 of a pruta, and you fulfill your obligation. And that's what the flour is worth for the asir swaifa. And the Gemara says, but although that is correct, the Gemara says, how do we do it? Zomar hachi chos rachman alei de dali dalos. The mehevi chad min tlos of a train with dalos. 132 of dalos. The Gemara makes this calculation. It comes out. But the Gemara is, although it's true, you still have to give the base hamikdash one complete pruta, one coin. The Gemara is the question, why? According to the calculation, it should be 3/4 of a pruta. Yehachi, if that's the case, riva de pruta have. You should only have to give 3/4 of a pruta, not
a full
pruta. So why does the Mishnah require you to give a full pruta? So the Gemara says some very powerful words. Hochinami, you are correct. Those are very powerful words. You're correct. The Iker Hadin, when you bring a carbon, Dale Dalos, very, very poor, only have to give the Mikdash 3/4 of a pruta to fulfill your obligation. The reason why the Mishnah required you to give a full pruta, Ella, Delav Orach Aram. It's not Derech Eretz. It's not Derech Eretz Lasuye to give Pachos Mipruta Lamakam, to give less Mipruta to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, so this is the Gemara. The Gemara concludes, Me'ikar Hadin, it's clear as day in the Gemara, Me'ikar Hadin, you can give less than a pruta for your carbon, 3/4 of a pruta, and the only reason why we upgrade you, we require you to give a full pruta, is because it's not their cheretz to come to the Beis HaMikdash and give them, give change for a penny. It's not their cheretz. When you come into the holy place in the world, you don't do that, so you give at least the full penny and you moichel the change. Problem is as follows. I left my notes at home today. I don't know all the sources, but I'll just speak from memory. Rashi, it is Rashi's opinion that a person cannot give a donation, cannot be makdish, cannot sanctify to the Beis HaMikdash an object that is less than a pruta. It doesn't work. If I want to give the Beis HaMikdash, I want to give them a donation, I want to sanctify something to the Beis HaMikdash, and it should have the status of sanctity, it must equal at least one pruta. If it does not equal one pruta, it does not work. So everyone jumps on Rashi, it's a Mefarish Gemara, and Mesechta Krasus, that Me'ikar Hadin, you can give to the Beis HaMikdash 3/4 of a pruta. Only reason why we require you midrabanan on a rabbinic level to sanctify more is because it's not derech eretz. But you see, it works. Rashi seems to say that even on a biblical level, it's impossible to sanctify to the mikdash an object that's worth less than a pruta. It's a very, very powerful question. Rashi explicitly says, if I take a half a pruta and I say this is hegdish, it doesn't work. You have said nothing. It's nonsense. It's zero. It doesn't count. It has no sanctity whatsoever. The Gemara here, Befeirish, says that Me'ikar Hadin, if you give the Beis HaMikdash 3/4 of a pruta, bang, it works. It works. Why then did we require you to give them a full pruta? You don't behave like this in the Beis HaMikdash. Even the poorest of the poor, when you give...
Why don't we extend that thing to the same sphere of being the donating tax? What? You don't... It's not appropriate for you to donate something...
Ain't no chanami, but Rashi is not talking about being what's appropriate. Rashi is talking about the letter of the law. The letter of the law is, Rashi's letter of the law, that if a person takes in his hand, you have to divide the prudas into the different coins, but if a person donates to the Mikdash an object, let's say you have a morsel of a crumb, a food, right? You have some piece of bread, a teeny little crumb of bread, and how much is this little crumb worth? It's worth a half a pruta. And you say, I want this to be a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. Does that object have sanctity? Does it? Are you
midin?
Me'ikar hadin, and Rashi says no, it does not. You have to give. You have to makdish something at least worth a pruta. The Gemara here, Befeirish, says it does not. That it does not need to be. So how do we reconcile this with Rashi? So there are many, many answers. I want to give what I don't have. I would read it for you, but I forgot my notes at home. I would have definitely done that. I would take another Gemara and read through the words of Rashi. Unfortunately, I don't know where this Rashi Daf Yud Gimel. I forgot which Masechta. I just forgot where it is.
Does the Torah tell us a specific amount of flour for the mincha?
Yes, an asir soifa.
So then, monetary value is a convention. Okay, that's this one.
That's you're touching upon one of the answers. So you can suggest that let's say we have a situation with the value the asir soifa is less than the value of a pruta. You would have to donate to the mikvah. Well, see, when you go to the Beis HaMikdash, you bring a carbon, you don't bring the flour, generally speaking. You give them money and they supply it. So you're purchasing, so if you're coming to purchase it from the Beis HaMikdash, in order to give it sanctity, you would have to give a pruta, and the change, the Mikdash takes care of the value. Okay, but you are touching upon one of the answers. There are many answers. They're like, I want to say that has 8 answers for this. I only want to touch upon 2 main answers. There are two. A lot of the other answers, they're just like spin-offs of the main two. They're two beautiful answers, main answers, and each of the answer has in itself many interpretations. It's a very big sugya, and it can be nogei halacha lemaisa when it comes b'zman hazeh things that require a pruta. One answer is there's a difference between being a vow and actually giving something to the Beis HaMikdash. When Rashi said, I forgot which Masechta this, when Rashi says that if you give, if you want to makdish something less than a pruta, it does not work. Rashi is talking about a neder. You want to pledge to the Beis HaMikdash. They're making an appeal. How much are you giving? $18,000. How much are you? $10,000, $5,000, $100, $8,000. Don't be embarrassed, Rabbi Isai. Don't be embarrassed. Every penny counts. Anyone here is not. I will give a half a penny. A half a penny. Will they come after you? Will the collection agency come after? Will they send you a postage stamp of how much it cost the postage stamp? And what's it up to now already? 40, how many cents? 45 cents. Will they come out? Will they send you a postage stamp of 45 cents to come and demand you pay up your half a penny?
If you put 44 cents on it,
they'll send it back. I know, because they'll get another 45 cents. The profit. It doesn't cost them anything more to send it back to you. The mailman anyway has parnasa. So what's the difference to them? Of course, it's all part. But So the question here is, so the answer is very simple. If you pledge is amira, the koyach hadibur. If you pledge, that's where Rashi learns, there's no such thing as pledging to the mikdash an object that's worth less than a pruta. Because being that it's dibur, and dibur by definition is weak, it's inherently weak, you have to be mechazik your dibur by pledging something that has significance. And significance is the value of a leads to pruta. But here in the Gemara Masechta Kresos, we're dealing with giving over to the mikdash. You are coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and either you give them the flour itself, which is worth less than a pruta. Let's assume the asiris soefa is worth less than a pruta. Let's assume that's the case. That's what the Gemara here means. That the flour, the volume of flour that you need for your carbon is worth. I'm giving you the flour. Here is my flour. Here it is. Then, even though it's worth less than a pruta, it works. Or let's say you're paying for it, right? Let's say you're not giving them the flour. The mikdash has a supply of flour, and the custom was you give them cash, and they will supply you with what you need. Okay, give us the money. We're not offering the carbon, no credit cards, no checks, no pledges, cash. You want a carbon offered for you today? Give us the coin. Give us. So let me give you 3/4 of a pruta. It works. Because I'm actually giving, I am transferring the gumma. When you actually do a maisa, then it works. It's a very beautiful idea. There's a chilik between Rashi that says that you have to represent that term of dibur. Dibur is inherently weak. You have to mechazek the dibur by pledging a pruta. But when you're transferring, when you're physically giving over an object, then you can give over even less than a pruta. That's one very interesting approach. Now I'll show you how to be nagei halachah nafnim in zman hazeh in a moment. There's another approach which involves a lot of lamdas, and that is Rashi. The Rashi elsewhere is discussing bedek habayis. There are two types of hegdish. There's hegdish monetary value, and there are things which are offered on the mizbeach. When you, a person gives a bar of silver to, that's not going on the mizbeach. The bar of silver is cash, whatever. It's going to be used to pay the workers, to pay Con Ed, to pay for supplies. Then there are things that you makdish that are offered as sacrifices on the mizbeach. So that's over here. The Sefer Kreis is dealing with offering flour. The flour is going to go on the mizbeach, or maybe it's even the money is going to purchase the flour. When you're dealing with kedushas haguf, then even if it's less than a pruta, it works. When Rashi says you need to be makdish at least something that's worth at least a pruta, that's, we deal with bedek habayis. We're dealing with things which are not going to go offered as a korban on the mizbeach, but it's going to be given as payment for services, things which are going to be used expense. Now what's the lumps? Those are very nice words. There's a chilek between bedek habayis and kedushas haguf. So let me give you two mahalakim. Two mahalakim will explain how it works. When it comes to bedek habayis, there's something called pidyon. If I'm makdish a chair to the Beis HaMikdash, the chair is not going on the mizbeach, right? The chair is, I work in a store, I have chairs, this is my parnasa, so let me give the Beis HaMikdash a donation, I'll give you what I specialize in, let me give you 10 chairs. So the Mikdash receives delivery of 10 chairs. The Mikdash says, we don't need chairs here. Ein yeshiva v'azara el malchus beistoy bovad. David HaMelech has a throne, we don't need chairs here. Which is not so posh, because according to the Meiri L'moshcha, the Kohanim, they sat down. All of the models, all the models of the Beis HaMikdash that you've seen, right? I've seen so many models. There's so many books now coming in Sefer Midos. You'll see a plethora they never show you picnic tables for the Kohanim to eat their kachem. How come they don't picnic tables? Then there should be picnic tables, right? You need picnic tables for the Kohanim to eat the kachem, right? So somehow they don't sit, they stand. But there are Rishonim that strongly disagree. They do sit. L'moshcha, l'gedul, it has to be in a state of dignity. And this rule of you're not allowed to sit down, that means when you're not eating, when you're not doing the avoda. But when you're, so according to those who show them, all of these pictures, all of these are missing a very basic thing, the picnic tables for the Kohanim to be sitting in the Azara and eating their Kadoshim. It's a very, very significant omission in the models, which have to be added according to at least the Meiri, and at least to be explained, because it's an interesting point. Okay, let's go further.
It's very explained.
What?
Where does he explain it?
The Meiri? Where is this Meiri? I do not know. I don't know. It's. I think it's in the film. I don't know. I remember seeing this. To add tavlin spices and all different things, right? But it's part of the Moshka. It's Nogea Loch Lamaisa Yishna by Pidyon HaBen. By Pidyon HaBen, when you give the child, when you give the baby to the Kohen, is the Kohen to sit or stand? There are different customs. Some Kohanim stand, and some sit. A Pidyon HaBen ceremony. And it all depends on this Meiri. It's all Tanogei Halach L'maisa. By Pidyon HaBen ceremony, does the Kohen sit or stand? If he's standing, because he holds that Kodashim, the Kohanim stood when they did the Avoda. If they sit, it's like the shita that holds that they sat when they ate kadashim.
So all the matanos kohanim, they stood. I give a kohen truma, he has to stand. It's no different than a matanos kohanim.
When you give it,
what is matanos kohanim?
I don't know the answer. I do remember seeing this being connected. There are different. There are different customs. When it comes to Pidyon HaBen, next time you go to Pidyon HaBen, take note: is the kohen sitting or standing? There are some that are makbid bedavka to stand. There are some that are makbid bedavka to sit. And I saw the explanation, it all depends on this Meiri, Ulmashcha, when they did the Avodah, there's some comparison of eating Kadashim when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. I don't know the details, but let's go back to the topic. So the difference is, so we have, there's the Pidyon, it comes to redemption. If I give chairs to the Beis HaMikdash, they don't need the chairs. So what do they do with the chairs? They sell it. They put it up for auction. Who wants to buy chairs? We need the money. We need cash. We need to buy supplies. We need to buy clothing for the Kohanim. We need to buy wood. We need to buy things. We don't need chairs. We need cash. Who wants to buy? Who wants to take this off our hands? Who wants to? Redemption. Someone should come and redeem the chairs. The chairs are sanctity. They have to be redeemed. When it comes to pidyon, redemption, You can't redeem something that's less than a pruta. It's not shaykh to redeem, to transfer value if the value is less than a pruta. But when it comes to objects that are offered on the mizbech as a karban, there's no redemption. Flower, an animal, there is no redemption. These things are offered as sacrifices on the mizbeach. There's no redemption. So that's the difference. When it comes to, when does Rashi say that it has to be released with a pruta? When you're dealing with bedek habayis, being that bedek habayis has a concept of redemption, and redemption needs at least the value of a pruta. So when you want to bring something into a state where there will be potential for redemption, it must be least worth a pruta. But here, Masechta Kresos, we're dealing with Kedushas Haguf, something which is offered on the Mizbeach. When it's offered on the Mizbeach, there's no issue of redemption. It's going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. It's irrelevant, the concept of redemption. Mimela, it's irrelevant, the concept of if it's worth a pruta or it's worth less than a pruta. That's one approach to explain this idea, the chilik between Kedusha Saguf and Kedusha Stam. Let me give you another answer. This answer is not 100% true, but it's partially true. So let's do the partial truth of this halacha. There's something called Ni'ila. Rashi says, why can you not be maxim that's worthless in the pruta? Because anything that is hegdish automatically has the law of Ni'ila. That's the next mesachta. If you have benefit from hegdish, person has benefited from hegdish by either by mistake or by accident, he has committed a sin. If the object that he has benefit from is worth less than a pruta, ni'ilo, the only time this means you, the amount of benefit that you have must be worth at least a pruta. If the benefit that you receive is worth less than a penny or less than a pruta, that's not called ni'ilo. You cannot separate hegdish from ni'ilo. Anything which is hegdish automatically has potential for mi'ila. If something is not hegdish, if there is no mi'ila, you can't mill the road. You can't separate these things. If there's hegdish, there's mi'ila. If there's no mi'ila, then there's no hegdish. A fundamental rule of mi'ila is you must have benefit of a value of at least a pruta. So if you want to bring something into a state of hegdish, where there will be a din of mi'ila, it must be at least worth a pruta. But that's only true when it comes to bedek habayis. When it comes to kedushas haguf, an object which is inherently sacred, which is offered on the mizbeach, mi'ilo does not depend on the benefit of a pruta. It depends on volume. Kezayis. So that's the answer to the contradiction. When does Rashi say it's all built on the original founding you sowed? When does Rashi say the din of mi'ilo, that you only time you can be makdish something of hegdish if it's only if it's a pruta? That's bedek habayis. Because the shear of mi'ilo for bedek habayis is a pruta. But when does the Gemara here in Masechta Kresos and Daf Yud on the days tell us the shear for hegdish is even less than a pruta? That's for kedushas haguf, because for kedushas haguf the shear of mi'ila doesn't depend on its value; it depends on its volume. On the volume, it's a kezayis, a certain shear. We don't care about the value. That's why it's shaykh to be makdish mi'ikaradin, even something that's worth less than a pruta. So basically, what we've done is we have taken an answer. We've differentiated between Rashi that says you need a pruta, and between the Gemara here that says you don't need a pruta. When Rashi requires a pruta, it's a din of bedek habayis, kedushas donim, and here it's kedushas haguf, and we've given two approaches to explain the lundis of this difference of donim and guf. Either it's a din of pidyon, donim is shayich in pidyon, and pidyon needs at least a pruta. Guf it's not shaykh in pinyon. There's no pinyon, so you don't need a pruta. And the other way to explain the chilik between davim and guf is mi'ila. You cannot separate the din mi'ila from the din of hegdish. So when the din mi'ila depends on a pruta, then in order to give it sanctity, it must be a pruta. But when the din mi'ila depends on volume, kedusha saguf, then the sanctity does not need to involve an amjad, that is a pruta, as long as it has the right volume. You're in business, and the amount of flour that you're giving here in Masechta Krasos is the requisite volume, even though it's not the requisite pruta, because who cares about it? The din of Kehedish is totally in the din of Mi'ilah. It's a very beautiful yisod to explain the lundis of the chilik between damim and guf. Okay, this is a very nice idea. The sugya, there's a lot, there are many other answers, but all the other answers really are just variations of these two differences that I've given you. And one is when you hand it over. The first answer I gave you was when you hand it over. When you hand it over, then you're doing a ma'isa, you don't need a pruta. But when you pledge, then you need. And the other approach, damim and guf, are the different chilukim. How is magelach l'ma'isa? Tzedakah. A person gives tzedakah. There's a mitzvah to give tzedakah. There are multiple psukim. Nason titein lo. You're not allowed, if an ani comes to you, there's even a loisa, say, loisa, you're not allowed to ignore an ani. And there's a mitzvah of nason titein. There are multiple mitzvahs. There are books and svarim about the mitzvah of tzedakah. I need to elaborate. The Rambam says, to mekayin the mitzvah of tzedakah, you have to give a pruta. Now, that's the Rambam. Every time it says a pruta, I have to look around. I forgot the exact details. But the question is, are you mekayim the mitzvah of giving tzedakah when you give less than a pruta? Many people have a minhag. It's a beautiful minhag. There are many different parts of davening where people, they come with a collection of coins, and they set aside this tzedakah, the tzedakah, and before you say this pasuk, give tzedakah. I remember there are different minhagim. Some give all different minhagim, so you go away. You can't give away $100 a day. You can't afford to give. So let's say you give a penny. Many opinions hold that today a penny is not a pruta. If you follow the silver content of what a pruta, you make the calculations. Pinyin Aben, it comes out a pruta today is almost like a nickel. There's even a movement in the government. I don't know, going for years
go
to abolish. It costs the government more money for every penny than a penny. Everyone, I mean, there's a movement in the government for years to abolish the penny. Everything should be calculated with nickels. You go to a store. Some stores, I'm appalled. They don't give you back. They don't give back pennies. The poon's not going to make a difference to me. But who are you to go and? But the point is, are you mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah when you give a pruta? You get credit. So really, so this really depends on this sugya. If you learn that the second answer. The answer is no. Anything that involves damim, it's not going on the Beis HaMikdash. It's not going. You're giving money.
So if I'm giving to yeshiva that's building a building, that's better kabayas, that's a compliment. So
that's not necessarily tzedakah. When you give money to support, that's hachzaka satara. That's not necessarily, there are different
that's
types of
kabayas,
there are different types of tzedakah. When you're giving that it's complicated. You're right, it's complicated. There are different types of tzedakah. But if you give less than a pruta, if you learn that it's a din of damim, it's a din, the chilutin damim, the only time you can give less than a pruta, you give a saguf. When you're giving money, you're giving cash, l'chayr, it's no good. It's you're not mekayim the mitzvah. Now the mefarshim say, although you're not mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah, there's another mitzvah of gemilas chasadim. There are other mitzvahs. So giving less than a pruta, there is a mitzvah. Don't get that. Don't be mistaken. But it's not the technical mitzvah of tzedakah. Or if you learn that it's a matter of giving over, as long as you physically remove the money from your possession, according to the first answer we've given, when you hand over the money, even giving bisman hazel less than a pruta, when ani comes, you give the ani less than a pruta, you put it in the stand, I've given, according to the first answer, I have accomplished the mitzvah. Only time you're not making the mitzvah is if you pledge, if you're in shul, you pledge to give less than a pruta. That's not a keem of the mitzvah. But actually, actually transferring from your possession an object that's worthless in a puta, that will be a kiyum mitzvah. But if you learn like the second approach, the only time you can give less than a puta is when it's kedushas haguf. So maybe you can say that if the ani has pleasure, if you've given an ani food that's worth less than the puta, and he has derived benefit from the food, he's actually eaten the food, it's gone in his stomach, maybe then you can say that's equivalent to kedushas haguf because it is turned into an actual benefit. But if you're just giving money, and the money is going to be used for his expenses, and it's not something which he's actually benefited from physically, it would not be a kiyum mitzvah. However, they do also a very other interesting point. Is let's say an ani comes, so there are instances where there's a halacha lo sucha lehis alein. There is a lo sase for not giving tzedakah. If in front of you there's an ani and he asks for tzedakah, some of the farshim want to say that although it may be true that you're not kind of the positiveness of giving tzedakah, but you definitely do not violate the negative commandment of ignoring a poor person by giving him less than a pruta. That's Marshall, a very interesting point. What?
I thought Rav Marshall said you can pick your ani.
It's not called lo sucha lisale means when the person is dying of starvation in front of you. We're not talking about a case where people are just collecting.
Can
that's
you
different.
Pick your name?
What? Yes, certainly you pick your name. So everyone that comes
every
to
collector comes
to give. Of course not. Of course, every
year. Not in violation of
No. That's where the person coming to you says, if you don't give me a piece of food now, I'm going to starve to death. Or he's suffering. A person is actually in front of you suffering, you don't give him. So there's a chiddush is that even though we learned here that according to Rebbe Yechiel is a puta, but if he lets you give him less than a puta, it may very well be Yinamakan mitzaseh of giving tzedakah, but you have not violated the loisaseh of not giving him when you give him less than a puta. That's an interesting point. That doesn't go all the way. What?
Practically speaking, Rabbi.
I'll tell you practically speaking.
Who gives less than a nickel?
I'll tell you how it's practical. Let's say you call them a kuba, and they're collecting for a group of people. On their list, like they have only the kuba shot stalker. On the list, they distribute money, let's say, to 300 people. And you give you a dollar. So technically, that's really what you're doing. Technically, I'm giving $1, so you distribute the $1 among the 300 people. That means each person is getting a third of a penny, a third of a penny. So you have not given any single person. If that's really what's happening, the different ways to look at stalker. But technically speaking, I'm collecting here for 300 people. We have an orphanage, 300 people. I just gave someone yesterday $100. I can't go give everyone $100. Here's a dollar. Oh, very good. And give and distribute it.
But you were kind yesterday, Mitzvah Tzedakah.
Okay, but today's the new Mitzvah Tzedakah. Today's new. You're giving each person a third of a penny. Okay, it's Gemilas Chasadim, it is. You're not violating Los Suchal Hisalim. But are you making the mitzvah of tzedakah by giving every single person a third of a penny?
So the answer is,
you have to say that if you want the kind of mitzvah of tzedakah, you have to say that you're not giving it to the gizmo that he should be zoicha by him taking it automatically to each ani, but rather I'm giving it to you. You give my dollar to one of the ani. For the other 299, you'll have to go to collect from someone else. But my $1 should go entirely to one of the anim, and that way, at least for that one ani, it'll be Brera, whoever will be, the Mela for the app. But if you're doing that, it's a two-step process. And that involves a bit of fasting, leniency. That means that when I'm giving, let me ask you a question. Let's say you give money to the guy. I want you to give it to, he's cutting for 300 people. Here's a dollar. If you learn that when you give them that $1, every single one of those 300 people is now zochin, the third of a penny, and let's all of a sudden this gives me there's an emergency situation, there are neem somewhere else in another city that are starving to death, and he wants to take the $1 that you gave for his institution, and he wants to give it to another group of people. He wants to give it to another tzedakah. There's another tzedakah organization that does the same exact work. Same work, you do the same thing.
That never shifts to transfer, does it?
Oh, that's the question, does it? There are halachas shulchan that you do. Gizberg, there are situations where you are allowed to transfer another tzedakah. If I give tzedakah to you and there's another need, a gizberg tzedakah has enormous power in certain situations. Here's the dilemma. It's in the Gemara. The Gemara, Baba Basra.
I make a check out to Ezra's Torah. You can take the gizberg can take the check and give it to XYZ check.
Also, let me tell you halachalamais, we just learned today. It's Nogea. If you learn Ezra's Torah, it's like for 1,000 people. people, I give a dollar, and so the gizbar is zoiche for the 1,000 people. What's the downside? The downside is you were not in the midst of stuff because you gave every single person a tenth of a penny. But being that you gave it to them directly, when he picked up the money, it's their money. It's their money. He picked it up on their behalf. It's their property. He now cannot transfer that $1 to another tzedakah organization that does the same exact work. But if you tell, listen, if I give you $1 and you're going to give it to 1,000 people, I'm the Mekayim the Mitzvah. So I'm going to give you $1 and you'll give the $1 to one person. And the other 900 that you'll figure out. I want to kind of want to give a pruta at least to one person. Oh, so that means you're appointing me to be your agent. They're not, when I take the $1, they're not yet zoiche in the money. Right now, I'm going to be the custodian, and when the right opportunity, I will then give it to the poor person that I choose. But in the meantime, you're approached by another organization that needs the money immediately, and they do exactly the same work. There is room for that custodian to give it to someone else, because the poor people that he was originally collecting it from never actually got it. You know why they didn't get it? Because you told them you don't want them to have it. Because if they'll have it, each one will only have a...
No, but he tells them to give one on you that's within your organization.
That is to be decided later on. That is a decision that will be made later on. We're not saying brer or lemmer. Okay, these are ideas. But you see how the lumness of what the Gemara you're saying is Nagei Halacha L'maisa. It all boils down to the issue. Can you give something less than a proof? The Ikar Yisod is by Kadoshim. There's Kedushas Domim, Kedushas Haguf. There's a chilik between pledging and giving. In Damim, there's din of Me'ila. Maybe even though dealing with Damim, the Beis HaMikdash, there it's different because there you're dealing with the laws of Me'ila. That doesn't apply when it comes to regular tzedakah. There are so many issues. And now when you want to go and transform, you want to extrapolate what the law is going to be, what's going to be when it comes to tzedakah, the things are going to change. Okay, we'll stop.